Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy and bless his righteous name. He has done great things, so many great things. He has done so many great things. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says, amen, amen, and amen. We will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouths. Glad to say top of the morning to you. Glory be to God and welcome back to the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries, mentoring kingdom leadership with Jesus Christ as King, Jesus Christ as Lord, and hallelujah, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ, he is the Lord. Amen. I am Apostle Dr. Alfreda. Amen. Of the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Truly, we are rejoicing in this another day that the Lord God, he has made from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Our God's name is great, and our God's name is very greatly to be praised. We welcome you. Amen. On our platform. Amen. Have a seat. Amen. At the table. You might not be able to see the table in the natural. It is a spiritual table. It's the Lord's table. It's the spiritual bread. It's bread from heaven. Amen. Glory be to God. And we want to thank God. Amen. Hallelujah for his faithfulness to us. Amen. Even when we are not faithful unto him, he is faithful unto us. Amen. And so we want to tell the Lord thank you. We want you to know that we meet on this platform 7 days a week. Amen. Lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. We have not wavered in our faith. Amen. But we have been a help to, amen, to remain steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as we know that our labor is not in vain. Amen and amen. We are teaching on the law of obedience, the law of obedience. Amen. How the Holy Spirit is taking us deeper and deeper. Amen. Into it. Glory be to God. Deep calleth unto deep. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can see that there are great consequences, amen, in our disobedience. And when we are not obedient to the Lord, it restricts what God can do, amen, for us, through us. Amen. We limit God. We restrict God when we choose disobedience instead of walking in obedience. Glory be to God. Amen. And we have, we want to continue where we left off. Glory be to God. And we are looking at how the sins of the flesh can interrupt, amen, the manifestations, amen, of what God desires to do, amen, for us. Jesus came that we might have life and have that more abundantly. Amen. But beloved, it's not automatic. It's not automatic. We have to do our part. There is a part that we must play. And this is why the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. You have to work your faith. See, and faith works. Amen. And when we work it. Amen. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, and we left off in verse number 19, and it reads, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft. This is just a portion of the works of the flesh. Beloved, our flesh works and it produces fruit. Your sin produces fruit. And this is why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. See, but the gift of God is eternal life. Today, beloved, we want to focus on that word idolatry. And Lord's willing, tomorrow we'll come back and we'll take a look at the witchcraft and see what the Bible has to say about it. Glory be to God. Idolatry, the works of the flesh. Amen. And Father, we thank you that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, O Lord, our Redeemer. Beloved, when people hear that word idolatry, most of the time they visualize, you know, some big wooden statue, some big pagan god, and, you know, naked people dancing around the wooden image and with the fire burning and chanting and, you know, cutting themselves, you know. And this is what most people visualize when you start speaking about idolatry, see. But our brother Paul, glory be to God, when I believe he had something a little bit different in mind, glory be to God, hallelujah, when he speaks about the works of the flesh, amen, glory be to God, amen. So in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 9, Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit," okay, "who I serve with my spirit." Beloved, Paul's view of service, amen, to God, see, it was a part of his worship. His service was his worship. Our service to God should be our worship to God. And God already encourages us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And as a New Testament a priest, Paul's service to God was the highest goal of his life. This is the reason he served God with all of his spirit, because serving God demanded his best efforts, his best work, and his undivided attention. See, and this was how Paul viewed his worship and his service to God. One of frequently visited verses in the Bible. I can't say my favorite because I don't really have a favorite Bible verse because it's all God's word. I can't say what I like and don't like. Amen. I do have a life passage that most of you know, those of you who know me, Psalms 32 and 8. Amen. But I make reference a lot to also Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Amen. And where it reads, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Reasonable service. Beloved, that word reasonable service, glory be to God, when we study in the Greek, and I encourage all of you to get Greek dictionaries, Greek Bibles, amen, so we can really get into the nitty and the gritty and the real meaning of the word. Sometimes there may be a word and we think the word means one thing, but when we really get into the root of the word, we can take the definition to the root and find out exactly what that word is telling us. So, beloved, amen, Paul is saying here his reasonable service. Now, that implies, beloved, that because of all that God has done for us, that's your reasonable service. Because of all that God has done for me, it is my reasonable service to do this and to do that. Glory be to God. It is just and fair for us to serve him with our undivided devotion. It is our reasonable service. And this is one of the principal ways that we worship him. So when Paul declares that yielding our bodies as a living sacrifice is our reasonable service, he is telling us that it is reasonable for us to give God our very best efforts, our complete efforts,
our undivided attention to the service of the Lord. Amen. Now, beloved, when the act of idolatry, when we speak about idolatry, that transpires when an individual gives his complete and undivided attention, his undivided devotion, his passion, love, or commitment to a person, project, or object other than God. Other than God. When the Lord tells us to love him with all of our heart, which is the first commandment, beloved, the love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. Glory be to God. Matter of fact, you can find that three different places. You can find it in the Old Testament, and you can also find it in the New Testament. Just let me give it to you so you can write it down. Amen. And make reference to it in your study time. Amen. Hopefully you have some study time. Matter of fact, you can find it in Luke. You can find it in Matthew. You can find it in Mark. Mark 12 and 20 tells us this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, beloved, first is first. You can't make the first commandment the second commandment, or you can't make the first commandment the last commandment. The first commandment is the first commandment. See? And so we're supposed, God wants to be first. We're supposed to give God everything. That sounds like everything to me, beloved. Glory be to God. It sounds like everything. It says love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or Jesus Christ is not Lord at all. He doesn't play second best. He's not your second girlfriend. Glory be to God. They were doing a story on the life of Joe Frazier. And Joe Frazier, amen, he had like about 15 girlfriends. You know, because if you got some money, you can always find yourself a girlfriend. Matter of fact, in the society we living in, you don't even need no money. You can still get a girlfriend. Yeah, that's another story for another time. But out of his 15 girlfriends, he had girlfriend number one. And girlfriend number two and girlfriend number three. And so he had them lined up, and they was okay with that. Evidently they didn't, you know, all they wanted was what he had to give. But God doesn't play that. God doesn't play that. Mm-mm. No. God is second or third. No. Not our God. God wants to be first. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, amen, whenever idolatry comes in, when God is not first, see, God does not have your complete and undivided attention. God does not have your complete devotion, your complete passion or love or commitment, see, because why? You're giving it to something else or somebody else. Somebody else has all of your devotion, all of your passion, your love, your commitment. Your commitment is to a person instead of your commitment being to God. Your commitment is to a project. Your commitment is to an object. See? And so that's where idolatry comes in. He said, have no other gods before me. See? Now, beloved, no other gods. God is the God with the big G. When we talk about other gods, they're with the small g. God does not have a problem with you having other gods. Your children could be a god. Your spouse could be a god, as long as they have the small g. As long as you're not putting them before God. Because when you put anything before God, even yourself, you are now have fallen into idolatry. And God does not like it. God does not like it. When something other than God takes first place in that person's mind, he has entered at least to some measure into the sin of idolatry. And beloved, this is why we are teaching so hard and so pressing in for you to get the message, amen, that if you don't mortify the flesh, you have an obligation. We've already shared the scriptures with you. If you miss that teaching, look it up yourself. Go in your dictionary. Look up the word mortify. Go to Google. Look up the word mortify. You'll find 2, 3, 4 scriptures. Amen. Where the Lord is telling us, he didn't say, I'm going to mortify your flesh. He said, you do it. And if you don't mortify the flesh by the power of God's spirit, beloved, it won't be long until you are preoccupied with other things. And these other things will steal the devotion and passion that should belong only to Jesus Christ. This is why we are told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're not extremely careful, now somebody needs to write that down today. Somebody needs to just write the word extremely careful. I didn't say if you're not careful. I said extremely careful, because it don't take much, baby, to be swinging in the wrong direction. It don't take much, amen, for that flesh to be leaning in the wrong direction. And if you're not extremely careful, beloved, hear me, and you know it's true. And you know it's true. And it's true if you acknowledge it or not. But if you're not extremely careful, your family, your spouse, your parents, your children, your friends, your job, your dreams, your visions, your profession, your possessions, your school, hear me, your church activities, or even your own talent, will unintentionally become the focus of your worship and your service. You'll find yourself serving in your own self-consumed priesthood, giving your best effort and your undivided attention to the fulfillment of your own self-interest. Okay, what would life look like if you was that determined about God's business? What would life look like? What would his kingdom look like if you was that sold out with God's business, God's work, amen, doing the will of God for the glory of God, putting God first, everything else comes behind him. And this is how idolatry, beloved, amen, it happens. You may not intend it to be that way, but you weren't careful. I just love them to death. The only person you're supposed to love to death is Jesus, because he said, mortify your flesh. Put your flesh to death. That's what you're supposed to be loving to death. See? And we love, and we're supposed to love, but beloved, when we be consumed with people and things and actions before God, we have fallen into idolatry. And idolatry, beloved, is a sin of the flesh, and that sin is going to reap fruit. Oh, it's going to grow some fruit. But you don't want that type of fruit in your life. Why? Because it's a blessing blocker. It's blessing your blocking your blessings. You can't get all that God wants to give to you, see? And you're in sin. So let me ask you this morning. I just have 3 questions for you. You don't, thank God the call's not open, so I'm not looking for no answer, because when I ask you these 3 questions, I got to ask myself the same 3 questions. The Bible says, judge yourself. Judge yourself, and you'll not be judged. So these are my 3 questions to you this morning. What do you think of more than anything else? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Just tell the truth. You got 24 hours in a day. Monopolizes your thought. Well, I'll be thinking about my family and think about my job and think about my money and thinking, okay, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, well, what takes the most of your thought? What do you think about more than anything else? Well, if I can just get me some money, if I can just, you know, if I can just, you know, get me a husband, if I can just hit that Powerball, you know, then I can move. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Let me ask you a second question. What consumes most of your thoughts? What you think about? Did you see that TV show? Did you hear what they said about the House of Representatives? Yeah, did you see the ex-president? What consumes most, and we should be concerned about everything, beloved, but I'm asking you, amen, what takes the most space up in your thought life? All right, third question. I got plenty, but I'm just going to stop right here this morning. What do you live for? You woke up this morning for what? Well, I got to clean this dirty house. Well, you know, I got to go to work. I got to keep some food. Is that what you're living for? Really? Really? Beloved, your answer will probably tell you what you worship most in your life. You don't have to own a carved stone statue of a pagan god in your living room in order to be an idolater. If you are attempting to place any other person, project, or object in your life on the same level with God, you are probably committing a form of idolatry. And beloved, if this is the case, it won't be long until God does something about it. Oh, baby, 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 baby. He is a jealous God. It won't be long. Just as God shoved Dagon off the ledge. Y'all remember when, glory be to God, the Ark of the Temple, the Ark of the Covenant, glory be to God. And you can find it in 1 Samuel chapter number 5, verse number 1 through 4, where the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, and that Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence, and sat it on a ledge right next to an idol of the pagan called Dagon. But when the Philistines came into their pagan temple the next morning, the Bible tells us that the Ark of the Covenant remained high on its ledge, but the statue of Dagon laid on the ground. The Philistines put their idol back in place, but the next morning they found Dagon lying on the ground again, facing downward with his head and the hands was cut off. God did it. God chopped the wooden statue up. Why? Because God refused to share his space with a false god. Read about it. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 5 today and read it. Oh, God don't play, baby. And the same way that God shoved Dagon off that ledge, and God decapitated him, God will do something radical to get your attention if you are an idolater. Oh, baby, you going to know. You ain't, look, God ain't going to give you the opportunity to say, I didn't know. Baby, let me tell you something. Anything you put before God, you're going to lose. And you can believe that. Anything or anybody that you put before God, you are going to lose. Why? Because you have replaced God, amen, with this person, with this thing, with this project, even yourself, with this goal Oh, you got to be careful pursuing your goals. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to make sure that you're lining up. Glory be to God in the will of God. You got to be very, very, very careful because the world will teach you to win at any cost. That's what the world will teach you. But we already know that the world is going in the wrong direction. God will teach you that he is not willing to share his position of lordship in your life with anything or anyone else. Beloved, make sure that Jesus remains the primary focus of your life. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear it again. And sometimes we get so busy, amen, we don't move God. We've downgraded God. Downgraded God. God's second place now. Baby, if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. You too busy to serve God. You too busy to pray. You too busy to know. Baby, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You too busy. So we have to make sure that our primary focus, amen, it's him seeking first the kingdom, God's will. Everything, I'll get to you. I'll get to everything else after. I'm going to fulfill my responsibility after. After. You ain't first. God is first. Well, you're going to be late. God is first. Well, you're going to be reprimanded. God is first. You might not get that promotion. God is first. Well, your spouse might leave you. God is first. Baby, when God is first, you ain't got to be scared. You ain't got to be scared of nothing. Because it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Anything you lose for God and his kingdom, he going to give you more than what you lost. Hey, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Beloved, God isn't against you possessing any of the things. God wants you to have a nice family. God wants you to have a loving spouse, parents. Thank God for us who still have our parents. God wants you to have your children to be blessed. He wants you to have friends, a good job. He wants you to have a great vision. A great profession. He wants you to have possessions. Every good and perfect gift coming from God. He wants you. You want to go back to school? He wants you back in school too. He wants you involved in your church activities. Get active. Get up off the bench. Huh? Your personal talents. See? All this come from God. He wants you to have all that. But beloved, but let hear me and hear me well as I wrap up this morning. God is against any of these things possessing you. He don't mind you possessing these things, but he is against these things possessing you. And especially for all, you know, we know we need money. You need money for everything. You need money, can't do nothing. Amen. Money answers all things. Glory be to God. But the Bible says, does not say that money is evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But when you become a God chaser, beloved, you ain't got to chase money. I'm telling you, money going to be chasing you. Money going to find you. And anything else gonna find you. You ain't got to chase no spouse. He who findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, is gonna be chasing you. When you chase God, everything else chases you. That's what Matthew 6:33 is telling us. You trying to get ahead in life? Be a God chaser. You got goals and dreams and visions you want to fulfill? Be a God chaser. And watch God turn that thing around and have people shaking their head. Well, I didn't think that they would be the one, because didn't seem like they was doing that much. It didn't seem like, yeah, that's because God was moving. If God is moving, you ain't got to try to keep up with God. Let God move. Let God be God. Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. A lot of times we in the way. We in the way. Glory be to God. Jesus promised that if we would seek the kingdom of God first, God will make sure that you have all those other things. God said it. I need a new car. Well, God said he gonna give you one. God didn't tell you to go and get no more. Get you in your car. 5 year, 10 year car payments. 5, 10 years of car payment. You put yourself in that debt. Why don't you let God give it to you? See, we don't want to wait long enough. We don't want to wait. See? And so, because we got to have it right now, we're consumed by the object, not even realize that in our consumption, we have replaced God as being, amen, number one. Now our consumption has become the number one thing, because we got to get it, and we got to get it now. So now we have displaced God, moved him to the background, said we'll get back with him after we fulfill our goal. You better pray and you better wish, huh? That you get another chance. Beloved, refuse to allow your flesh to take you down the road of self-worship. Refuse to allow your flesh to take you down the road of the worship of family. Refuse to allow your flesh to take you down the road of worship of material things to such an extent that you commit the act of idolatry. Because God hates it. He hates it. And the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. I want to leave this scripture with you as I close on this morning, 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. He was talking to King Saul. Beloved, you don't want to be rejected. I'm waiting for God to do this, and I'm waiting for God to do that, and you don't even realize that God has rejected you. Because you have yet to confess the sin of idolatry. You don't want God to reject you, baby. Glory be to God. And it's such a serious sin. Tomorrow, Lord's willing, we're going to be talking on witchcraft. Today, amen, idolatry, amen. But the Bible speaks here in the scripture. It puts idolatry right with witchcraft. Put it all together. Why? Because it's all rebellion, beloved. Back in the Old Testament, they were sins worthy of death. And in Saul's case, Saul became both rebellious and arrogant. So it is little wonder that God finally rejected him and took away his kingdom. You don't want God taking nothing away from you. We say it all the time, well, the good Lord giveth and the good Lord taketh away. Yeah, but you don't want God taking nothing away. I don't think you really want that. Because you don't know what he might take. And you don't know who he might take. I don't think you really want that. Rebellion against God is perhaps the most serious sin out of all the sins Well, sin is sin. You know, sin is sin. No. No, we it sounds good. It sounds religious. But is it biblical? And the reason, beloved, that rebellion is probably the most rebellious sin out of all the sins, because as long as a person rebels, he or she closes the door to forgiveness. You close the door to forgiveness and restoration with God. Now, how God going to move when you done closed the door? I had an opportunity to witness with the young man earlier this week. Please pray for him. His name is Joe. He was active in the church, very active. Okay. Truly saved, gave his testimony, truly saved, worked the altar, worked with the preacher, worked with the pastors. And he told me that he made a decision, and he's confident with it. He no longer believes in Jesus. He said he did his research and found out that we was being bamboozled by Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus wasn't real, and people are brainwashed, and he found the truth. And he said he's confident. I said, Joe, if you take your last breath, Joe, and you enter into eternity without Jesus, I said, now you know you're lost, right? He said he's confident. So here he replaced God with whatever he got. Then he wanted to get into what I ain't even want to hear. Matter of fact, I had to go. I don't care what you discovered. I just ain't interested. The same way you convinced, I'm convinced. The way you persuaded, I'm persuaded. I mean, even if I had the time, I don't know. I might have heard a little bit about what he wanted to say, but it didn't make a difference because I don't even want to hear. Even if I was going the wrong way, I still choose Jesus. I still choose Jesus. If I got to heaven and find out that Jesus wasn't the answer, then so what? Amen. That's a choice I made. I still choose Jesus. I don't care what you come up with. I still choose Jesus. But what did Joe do? Amen. He replaced God with something else. That's an idolater. Now, if Joe don't repent, Joe's going to have to pay heavy consequence. Let us pray for him and everybody else. Amen. And practicing the sin of idolatry. Amen. Hallelujah. I have decided to make Jesus my choice. I have decided that God is first in my life. Is he first in your life, beloved? Well, guess what? You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. You got to be tested. Because let me tell you something. God does not allow you to go through a test to prove anything to him. Because he already know what you're going to do before you do it. God allows you to go through a test so you know. So you know. Jesus is first in my life, all right? Yeah, well, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep it that way. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for the word of God on today. And to you be praise, glory, and honor. Father God, forgive us. Forgive us for replacing you. Replacing you, Father. We made so much bogus excuses. This bogus stuff. And Father, we just displace you, and then we want to bring you back. Then we want you to bless us and us displacing you, Father God. We want to downgrade you 2-3 levels and still want the number one blessing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and Father, help us. Help us, God. You would not have your children to be ignorant. You would not have us to be delusional. You would not. Father, you said we perish for a lack of knowledge. Help us to make a commitment to keep you first. You, Father God, to take up our cross and follow you. You are first, period. Conversation closed. No discussion. You are first. Now, that's it. We don't care what the consequences are. We're going to leave the consequences to you. You are first. Help us to get there, Father. and help us to stay there. And Father God, we confess every sin of idolatry, wherever we have put anybody, anything, any goal, even ourselves before you, Father, at any time, we ask that you would forgive us. And from this day forward, Father, we want to, amen, fall in love with you, loving you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our might, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, saints, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bind every spirit of retaliation. We seal this prayer by the word, by the blood, by the spirit. We cast it at the feet of Jesus to decree and declare and declare and decree. Hallelujah. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We invite you to meet us at the altar of prayer today. Amen. At 12 o'clock and back at 9 o'clock. 12 and 9, 12 and 9 today. Call at the top of the hour if you have a prayer request. Call in at the top. Amen. Glory be to God. Even if you can't stay, amen. Glory be to God. And be mindful of the background noise. Amen. And to God be praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Father, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time today. We cancel bad news. We cancel tears. We cancel sorrow. We cancel premature death. We cancel all these things. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. And we thank you for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Alfreda signing out. Amen. Thank you for, amen, eating with us on today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That was some spiritual sausage there. Sometimes when you eat, amen, there's certain, some things you can just, you know, just, if you're eating a scrambled egg, you know, it's soft. You can take that down. But if you're chopping on a piece of a beef or turkey, amen, that sausage, you got to chew it a little bit. Amen. That was some meat there today. Glory be to God. But, amen, that's how we grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I love you. Amen. Signing out.
Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now, you have won it all for me.
Stretch out your hands, stretch out your hands, stretch them out.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.